On RN Drive, it's 8 minutes to seven. If I told you that dust from the Sahara Desert can travel all the way to the Amazon, would you believe me? Well, apparently it amounts to 22 tonnes a year. Can that be true? I don't know. Also, computers have learnt how to play 80s-style computer games from scratch, and in just a few weeks they can play better than humans, which actually doesn't surprise me very much. But should we be afraid? Should we be very, very afraid? There's only one way to find out. Let's put it through our research filter.
Is it science?
Our filter today is Dr. Susanna Elliott, CEO of the Australian Science Media Centre. Welcome to RN Drive.
Good evening.
Susanna, tell us about this study into dust from the Sahara. Why did the study look, what did it look at, and what did it actually find out?
Yeah, look, now this is about this mind-boggling phenomenon known as teleconnections, which is where something in one part of the world, something going on in one part of the world, has an impact a long, long way away. So in this case, as you said, it's from the Sahara Desert. The dust gets picked up by wind and gets carried more than 2,500 kilometres across the Atlantic and settles over the Amazon and various other places. And actually, the amount is more like 22 million tonnes.
22 million tonnes
per year.
Major understatement there by me. 22 million? Good Lord.
Yes.
Why is this discovery important? What does it reveal?
Well, look, I mean, they've known for quite some time that this has been happening. The really important thing about it is that it turns out that this dust is carrying phosphorus. And phosphorus is a very important fertilizer, which fertilizes the Amazon. So the Amazon would not be in a good shape without it. So it's actually really, really important that this is maintained. And the thing that's really fascinating about it is that the Amazon, it contains a lot of phosphorus, but it's mostly in the plants. And what's happening is over time, a certain amount of phosphorus is leached each year from, into the rivers and through soil erosion. And it turns out that the amount of phosphorus in this dust coming from the Sahara is almost identical to the amount that's being leached out of the Amazon gradually over time.
That's fantastic.
It's a delicate balance.
It is. So basically, it's a study that finds that we live on a really amazing planet.
That's right.
We can prove that this planet is really amazing. All right, let's move to this other one, which I'm absolutely fascinated by. Researchers have looked at how we deal with trauma or bad experiences, and the study found that dwelling on those experiences can actually make the brain think we've only just recently experienced it, which is actually kind of what your mum warns you about. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about it. It's all over after you come home from school when you're a little kid and, you're traumatised because someone pushed you off the equipment. Is that kind of what this is all about?
Yes, it is. It is pretty much. I mean, this is a really interesting study from a team of psychologists at University of New South Wales. And I guess, the thing that is kind of interesting here is that I guess a lot of people have also heard that phrase, as well as don't dwell on it, they hear the phrase time heals. Don't worry about it, time will heal. But that's clearly not the case for some people. In fact, for some people with post-traumatic stress disorder, if the experience is intense enough and their dwelling on it is frequent enough, then in fact it can grow even stronger over time rather than decreasing in strength. And sometimes these people can be very confused about timing, so they can kind of actually be very confused about when an event actually happened.
Do we know anything about whether this is people, making themselves relive this because they're unresolved about it, or what tendencies lead to some people doing it more than others?
Well, they do say that they only looked at negative emotions, and they say they want to go on and study, experiences that have a positive feeling about them to see if they have a similar effect, people dwelling on positive things. But they found that people who experience intense anger over an experience are more likely to dwell on them over time. And it's this dwelling process. It's not so much the intensity of the experience itself. It's more the tendency to dwell on it, which is what keeps it at front of mind and keeps it feeling like it only just happened.
Susanna, are you a dweller?
Actually, no, I'm not a dweller. I think I learned quite early to be able to let go. And I think it's been very good.
Clearly, yeah. I used to be a dweller. I stopped being a dweller. I don't have enough time to dwell. Could there be implications for sufferers of things like post-traumatic stress disorder? Is that where this could lead?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what they do say is that if they can find ways of disrupting this dwelling process, this rumination, if you like, that might then lead to people being able to let go of experiences and not keep hold on to them, especially when there's anger involved.
Okay, let's get to this last one from today, which is the only one that doesn't surprise me. Or the rest, actually, I did find quite surprising. And this one's a new study into how good computers can get quite quickly. Tell us about it.
Right. So this actually comes from, it's an interesting research. It comes from Google. So they have a division in Google that looks at artificial intelligence. And what they've been doing is they've got this program, this computer program, that is able to play very simple Atari games from the late 70s and early 80s. So, okay, that doesn't sound too amazing. But the thing that makes this a bit different is that we've heard about games that can play chess, for example, and can beat, you know, champion chess players. But the way that those games worked, or the way those programs worked, is by having an input of information, which, you know, basically gives them thousands of different possible moves. So they've got this incredible array of information to choose from. But in this case, they didn't really give the computer that kind of information. They just basically told the computer what winning means and then made the computer learn to play these games itself by trial and error.
Wow.
So, you know, so once the computer knew what winning meant, it just kept on going and over a period of a couple of weeks taught itself how to play these games.
Okay, so I should be very afraid. You're making me more afraid than I was. I just thought, yeah, I mean, who couldn't learn how to play an old Atari game?
Yeah, right, exactly. But then what next? Uh-huh. I mean, clearly the implications are, you know, around robotics and, you know, developing computers that can kind of predict or can learn, you know, can change over time. I mean, the idea of having a computer or a computer program or a robot in your house that not only comes with a sort of certain amount of information in its system, but also can learn and, excuse me, can change and adapt according to your behaviour is quite interesting.
I used to have a robot vacuum cleaner, and it just really smashed into everything in my house. It became a nuisance. I think we've sold it.
So it didn't learn. It didn't learn by trial and error, obviously.
Well, it kind of remembered, but it sort of, well, it was just like it smashed up the house. I don't know. Clearly it needs to get better. Susanna, thanks for joining me on RN Drive.
Thank you.
And that's Dr. Susanna Elliott, the CEO of the Australian Science Media Centre. You're with RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis. Stay with us, because after the news, we're looking at new policies on how to deal with foreign property investors. Are they overkill? The government certainly thinks they're a good idea. Let's find out. That's all on RN Drive after the news.